We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. Robbie Hummel could not be with us for this one, and he feels terrible. He's actually going to tape something because we've got a great episode, a special episode today, and it is a tribute to the one and only Mike Bray, Notre Dame head coach, who announced his retirement at the end of the season on Thursday. And this is a guy who, honestly, I've known a long time, and not only a great coach, but maybe the greatest human being I've met doing this job. And that's, there's a lot of great ones. He's right there up there, maybe at the top. I've always said, if there's somebody I want to have beers with too, other than Bob Huggins as a head coach, it's probably Mike Bray. He built Notre Dame into a consistent NCAA tournament team. You know, they went one step away from the Final Four a couple different times in 15 and 16. He found guys. He developed them not only as players, but as people. And we got a bunch of those dudes on today to help pay tribute to the one and only Mike Bray. And I'm going to start with a guy who I know well, obviously works for ESPN. Everybody else knows well. A foundational piece of everything that Mike Bray built at Notre Dame, and that's Jordan Cornett. Jordan, thanks for joining us here. And I just kind of want to honestly give the floor to you guys and tell stories about Mike Bray, who you guys knew well, because he's going to be missed. He is going to be missed in college hoops.
No doubt, Jeff. I'd like to thank you for doing this, man. We spoke last night when the news came across the wires and you had this great idea of getting some of the guys together to talk about Coach Bray. And of course, he's still alive, so it's not like we're remembering a life here. But we are talking about his Notre Dame life, which after 23 seasons will come to a close. And it's been an incredible 23 years of overachievement, quite frankly. But I think one of the greatest things in talking with Coach that he felt like he achieved was the bond that a bunch of these faces on here share. Some guys I never shared a floor with, but share a bond with. I mean, I'm looking at guys like Scott Martin, Kyle McElarney, Zach Hillsley, and Eric Atkins. I never shared the floor with those guys. Those guys are my brothers, some of them close friends. And that's what this is about for us. It's coming together in appreciation for the lessons we've learned from Coach Bray, the laughs we've had with him, the wins, the losses, but the bond, and just to be able to kind of look back and reflect on what he's meant to us, what he's meant to college basketball. And honestly, guys, just for the next 30 minutes here or so, we'd love to share some stories about who Coach is. For those who don't know, I think that's what The Field does as a great podcast. Robbie's lazy ass not being here. We won't hold that against him. But, you know, for people who just think Coach is just this funny guy, this loosest coach in America, so much more than that. Some of the guys who are some of my OGs are on here, and Dave Graves, who was one of my captains, Matty Carroll, who's one of my captains, Martin Inglesby, who was one of their captains and teammates and was one of my coaches. His name's swirling around it a lot. We won't mention any of that right now. But I'd love to start maybe with you, Dave, what Coach meant to you, because I know he meant a great deal. You got to unmute you, buddy.
Dave.
Yeah, there you go.
Dave, unmute.
My bad. I'm a rookie. My bad. You know, the thing about Coach, and Martin kind of probably could touch on this, is, you know, we obviously had three goes at head coaches during our term with Coach McLeod, Coach Daugherty, and then when Mike came in, you know, the thing that was so Coach McLeod was such a professional. You know, he was in the NBA for 28, 30 years, never wanted to embarrass you, very calm all the time, even though we were losing. And then when Matt came in, it was kind of a shock to the system. I mean, he was in your face. He was brash. He was very aggressive. And then when Mike came in after, 24, 36 months later, he had such a calmness and coolness about him that was kind of refreshing. And Martin can speak on it a little bit more. I know he had to re-recruit Martin a little bit after Daugherty's time at Notre Dame. But the thing that with Mike that I've always – kind of said about a lot with a lot of people was his awareness of his groups was something that's really unique in college basketball. He knew we were kind of an older group, and that's kind of possibly how he got his steam at Notre Dame, with kind of get old, stay old. But he didn't really mess with us a whole lot, which was kind of unique. You know, obviously we had Troy Murphy, All American. We had some very good players, and Coach came in and he didn't really do a whole lot when it came to messing things up. We were kind of a self-sufficient group. We had to be. Tony Rolinski was kind of our core guy because he was with us the entire time as coaches were coming and going. But man, his awareness of treating us as men was great. I remember going on trips to Hawaii and Miami, and he'd kind of give us a day off, you know, when we got there all the time. He's like, don't talk to me. You all go do your thing, get it out of your system. And then it's a business trip. So he kind of knew we were 21-year-old, 20-year-old, you know, kids. He kind of gave us our time. And then we were to work. That's what we did. And I just really appreciated his approach. He treated us respectfully and as men. And I think in turn, that's why we have all these people on this podcast. You know, we truly, truly love him and love his approach and how he dealt with us, which was unique, respectful. And he kind of gave us a little bit of a rope, but he knew when to jerk it. That was the other thing about him that was kind of cool. He kind of knew when we were getting a little loose, he'd kind of get us back into form.
Moose, Maddie, feel free to jump in. I know you guys' experience are similar to DG's, but maybe differ just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was spot on, Dave. You know, obviously Coach has impacted all of us in so many ways. You know, kind of the self-proclaimed loosest coach in America. You know, he had that way about him, played up in the media. And, you know, he made basketball fun. I think for us as early first couple years, he kind of got us on the right track and gave us the opportunity, you know, to play, to have fun. We were excited to come to practice every day. You know, I think the one thing that I always, as I think about Coach, is, you know, his relationships, caring about the people, caring about the university, but he is one of the most competitive motherfuckers that I've ever been around. And, you know, I don't think people talk about that as much. You know, you see that behind the scenes and maybe in staff meetings or in the locker room, but he is a relentless competitor and a winner and, you know, putting the right pieces in place at the right time throughout the course of the season to help a team win and have success and tinker and tweak through the ebbs and flows of a college basketball season. And I think he's a master at it. He's a master at it, getting a team to play together. And, you know, I've learned so much from him as a player and as a coach that I take with me every day. So you can go on and on about the stories and the times we had.
I need a story though. Martin, give me, yeah. You were with him more than anybody else here, you know, as an assistant too, and played for him for a long period of time.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of them.
Maybe, I know
there touched on it quickly, but in 2015, you know, going down to Greensboro, the ACC tournament, bringing his Notre Dame team as an ACC guy and to go through Duke and Carolina to win an ACC championship down there. And I remember when we were getting it done, he looked up and said, like, look at all that Carolina blue walking out of the building as the Irish just kicked their ass. And, you know, that is such a proud moment, I know, for him to be able to take our team down to that country and to get it done and win a championship. Something that I'll always remember, and how he reveled in that.
Matt?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with DG and with Moose. I mean, I think they described Coach perfectly. I mean, he was the best. You know, I played for a lot of coaches, you know, in my career, especially professionally, and he by far was my favorite for a lot of reasons and a lot of ways. But, you know, when I think back, like Martin said, it was just fun. I mean, he found a way. Obviously, he was extremely competitive. We had good teams. We were winning. But he instilled a sense of fun and joy in the game of basketball that is hard to do, I think, at that level all the time. But that's just who he was. And you talk about competitiveness, I think, you know, we had games where you might have felt like we were out of it, didn't have a chance. But he stayed positive, I think, because he was so competitive that he found a way to keep us playing hard, keep us working, keep us believing. And I think he could just read the room. You know, Dave talked about reading, Jordan talked about, you know, finding the right ingredients for each team, reading people, having a way to ability to connect with his guys. That's incredible. It's hard to do. You know, when you're in a job like that, you're the head coach at Notre Dame, there's pressure to win. But he just found the right ingredients, I think, with all these groups over these 20 plus years that just made him so successful, and these teams there and guys so successful. And I just had fun. You know, I think about that. I mean, I enjoyed my experience playing for him more than anything else. And we have a lot of stories. I think of a lot of stories looking at the guys on this call right here. Some we can't share on this today. That might have to be over a few beers. But he was, you know, the first day I met him, my sophomore year, he was a guy that, like, I felt like I wanted to go have a beer with and just talk sports and hang out. But you knew, like, he really cared for you as a person, you know, more than basketball. I think of a couple of times, maybe after a big win, maybe a late night, that maybe we called Coach Bray late at night, you know, and it was the type of guy that, like, you probably wouldn't call your mom or dad because you didn't want them to get mad at you. But you had such a unique relationship that you could call your coach knowing that he's going to say, you better stay out of trouble, but have fun and celebrate, and let's get to work tomorrow. But he was that kind of guy, you know, so just kind of the memories of him knowing he had your back, he was going to push you. But as a friend, he was going to be there for you. And what I think is so unique, he came down to Charlotte about a month ago to recruit a kid here in Charlotte. And I came to the high school practice to see Coach. And we talked for about an hour. And it was like it was 20 years ago. You know, it just hasn't, it doesn't matter. It's like the guys on this call, your brothers, your teammates, you know, you could go 20 years and everybody, it's like nothing changed, right? You pick right off. COVID happened. You don't see guys for 3 years. You see Coach Bray. And you're laughing, you're telling stories, and it was more than basketball, you know, to him. And he made it that for his players, which was, you know, really special, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah, Matty, it's funny when you mention that. I kind of think about, you know, how relatable Coach was. And Taryn, I'd love to hear you jump in on this one. But he was also relatable because he could give it back to you, right? He could talk smack. I mean, he was quick-witted. And he could always check you. And I see guys laughing because Coach was cool like that. Like, he – you know, you took that leash that Dave talked about. You took it too far. He'd reel you back in. I think of a time quickly, a story of mine, and I wasn't nearly as good as the majority of the guys on here. Some of you guys, I could probably give it to you, but the majority are way better than me. Carmelo Anthony gave me the business one game. I mean, he gave everybody the business. Syracuse was at Notre Dame. And the game was like on a Tuesday night. Wake up the next morning, and I get a note from Karen. I need to meet with Coach in his office. And I'm thinking, well, Coach can't be mad at me that Melo gave me 30. I mean, what did he expect? It's a mismatch. I didn't go out the night before. I didn't get in any trouble.
He still won.
And so I go to Coach's office, and Coach goes, you know, Jordan, and he throws me the South Bend Tribune. And I'm like, well, my name's not in there for doing anything wrong besides giving up a bunch of buckets. And it's a couple quotes, some salient ones I gave after the game about, you know, what happened and maybe what went wrong. Because, Bogo, we actually did lose that game. And Coach goes, you see these quotes right here? They're great quotes. If you could play the damn game as well as you talk about the damn game, you'd be an All-American. And I walked out of there and I thought to myself, I'm going to be in TV. That's what I'm going to do. And I think it backfired for Coach, but that's the kind of guy he was. He would check you. He'd put you in your place. And K-Mac, Taryn, I know you guys got some stories of, you know, the back and forth. Just you'd be like, oh, Coach is cool with it.
I got one good story. I remember back my senior year, you know, at Notre Dame, I lived on campus, which is unique compared to a lot of other colleges. And I had four roommates that weren't my teammates, regular students at Notre Dame. And so I came home one night and I saw my roommates sitting there and they kind of had a look on their face. I was like, hey, what's going on with you guys? And they said, we just got back from dinner. I said, where'd you guys go? They said, oh, Coach Bray took us out to dinner. And I'm thinking, Coach Bray took you guys out to dinner? And I said, why'd he do that? He says, or they all said, well, he just wanted to make sure that, hey, we know we kind of have the party house here, but even though this is the party house, we got to let you get to bed by midnight on game nights and he's going to take care of us. So he had a funny way to connect with people. He was doing things behind the scenes that we didn't even know about.
Tarim, what do you get? I mean, I remember your recruitment well, being that I covered it back in the day and we weren't too far away from each other. Everybody was after you. Was there something even like throughout your recruitment that Bray did to be able to get you there?
Yeah, so he just found, Coach Bray found a great way to not only connect with his players, but just connect with people. You know, I think one thing that really stood out to me is that him and Coach Lowe, they were actually recruiting me during 9/11. And all the flights were canceled and they actually drove out and, you know, they still made the recruitment and they drove back. Actually, Muffet McGraw was recruiting as well. And they all drove back to Notre Dame together, which was amazing. And I think that really stood out to me for the dedication that he had as a coach, you know, and I think that he just was very relatable. You know, I probably could have went anywhere I wanted and I was just drawn to Coach Bray and the coaching staff and drawn to Notre Dame. And I had an amazing experience there. And, you know, all his players, we've become family. And one thing I can say about Coach Bray is he has the best memory ever. Coach Bray never forgets anyone. He still asks about my mother. He asks about my friends that he might have met him one time, and he still asks about them. And I think that's very special, you know, in a person and in a coach.
Yo, Tarim, man, it's T. Jones, man. Be honest, I locked you down that recruiting visit. Like, Coach Bray did all the heavy lifting early on, but you know he gets the job done on recruiting visits, man. I was the closer for Coach Bray. So anybody he knew he really wanted, he sent him to T. Jones. I'll get it done. It ain't about basketball. Hey. It's about the other stuff. You know what I mean?
Hey, like Maddie said, we can't talk about some of those stories.
Why not? He's done now. You can say whatever the hell you want now.
No, we had an amazing time there. We had an amazing time there, you know, you know, Maddie and T. Jones, D. Mill, Jordan Cornett, they really, I was one of the young guys. I was actually Coach Bray's very first recruiting class, you know, and so for me, it was a great experience to go there first year. It was amazing. We went to the Sweet 16 and, you know, it was like where players became brothers, you know, we're all still in touch today. And I think that's one of the things that Notre Dame really instills is that brotherhood. You know, I think Coach Bray being there for 23 years, he was very instrumental in helping with that, you know, because he's really become family to all his players as well.
Well, it's amazing to me that, again, I talked to Jordan last night on a layover at, I don't know what time it was, 9 o'clock at night. And we already got all you guys together. And one of the things why a lot of other players couldn't make it at Notre Dame, it's a little bit different than some other schools. A lot of you dudes are, and I'm not saying you guys aren't, that you're on here now, but a lot of you dudes are making a ton of money doing stuff all over the world. Jordan, I know mentioned Rob Kurz is in Dubai or something right now, right?
Yeah, Jeff, that's accurate. And, you know, the thing is, you got 14, 15 guys on here right now, guys that played huge roles in coaches' success. We're all eager to jump on. And you're looking at guys with families. You're looking at husbands, fathers, employees of companies, some running their own businesses, some leading programs to wins on a weekly basis in college hoops. Some guys, agents on here. I mean, you could run the gamut. But the guys who even couldn't get on here because there's several text chains that kind of weave through the generations from coach. everybody said, oh man, it's never going to be the same. I love that guy. I wish I could do it. I can't. But it's generated some of the stories you're eager to get here, Jeff, that guys aren't so willing to share. It's generated the sharing of those stories woven through those chains. And the thing that
we got to get a couple of them, though, we got to get a couple that you know, somebody's willing to throw out there. Hummel's going to have a good one that he'll record and we'll put in the pod. It's pretty funny. Scott knows what that one is, I'm sure. It was an ill-advised text message. I'll give it a tease. From Bray to Hummel that wasn't supposed to go to Hummel. Okay. You guys can only imagine what it was.
Coach is never very technologically savvy. That makes sense. I can see that happen.
K-Mac, what do you got? I mean, you got to have something here. You blew up kind of late. You know, I remember your whole recruitment as well. You weren't a guy that was on the circuit heavy early and you blew up, but give me something on Bray that maybe hasn't been talked about already.
So we went to Ireland my senior year, going into my senior year, and I just turned 21. And as everybody knows on this call, the good Irish Catholic boy that I am, I abstained from drinking until I was 21. So we are in Ireland, and a couple of us are doing our own thing. And we walk into the hotel, and Coach Bray is in the lobby. And we're freaking out. You know, we don't want him to see us. He kind of sees us in his peripheral vision, and we like make eye contact. And he just does this like little head turn. He turns away, and we run into the lobby, and we get back into our hotel room nice and safe. But you know, that among others, we have plenty of stories that we aren't comfortable sharing on the social media channels. But I'll say this about Coach. He knew how to coach each one of us. He has such a good pulse on who we are, what buttons to push, what strings to pull. Of course, you know, the story is out there. When I got suspended from Notre Dame my sophomore year, all of a sudden I got suspended and my recruitment opened up again because there was a lot of things going on at the time. But I was thinking about going elsewhere. I was thinking about transferring. And Coach Bray flew to New York, to Staten Island, and he sat in my living room with my parents and talked for hours with me and my parents. And it was not come back to Notre Dame and be first team All Big East and, you know, resurrect your basketball career. It was just him pouring his heart out as a father and as a friend that kind of got me and my family back on board to go back to Notre Dame. He's a master at coaching the individual, as I said. He knew every single one of us. He knew how to motivate us. He knew when to turn it up a little. He knew when to throw us out of practice. And I think I think he's the best at that across college basketball.
No question, K-Mac. That makes me think about a guy like Russell Carter, a dear friend of a lot of us on here. I think Russ got thrown out of more practices than he actually played in. And you know what happened to Russ? He became an all-conference player in the Big East. And he always was a great young man. He's turned into a great father and all these things. Coach knew how to motivate a guy like Russ, right? Because everybody's different. And Russ became one of the best players in the Big East. I think about some of the teams I played on. I'm not sure if Maddie was on his team. TJ, I know you and Turin were. Moose, you might have been coaching during this time on the staff with Coach. But we had gone on a losing streak, and Coach said, you know what? You guys don't deserve the locker room. Give it to the kids in school. Like, kick them out of the locker room. Like, put them in the whatever the auxiliary, like, locker room was for kids to change for, like, intramurals. He's like, no. Let the undergrads have the locker room. Let them use the TVs and have the Gatorades and have the leather couch. These dudes are lame. They don't belong in here. And he kicked us out. He kicked us out for a solid week, I think it was, TJ. Was it about a week?
Yeah, I think it was about a week, man. It's funny. I actually forgot about that till you just said it. But Coach Inglesby has adopted that as well. We had to kick a couple of our teams out over here at Delaware. Two guys bullshitting out there, you know, not doing what it takes. And, you know, he'll tell me, you guys are poor mother. He'll take Coach Inglesby took it up a notch. He'll take their practice jerseys. They had to come in out of here and wear their own clothes from home and all of that and, like, earn – you know, the right to be on the court and the right to have the locker room and stuff.
Wait, isn't it? Did he learn that from Kay?
Yeah, he
was the only one. By the way, still, think about this. Coach K, all he's brought in pretty much, I think through his entire career, Martin can correct me on this, was former Duke guys on his staff. Bray was like the only dude that was a non-Duke guy, not in the family, that he brought on the staff. What does that say about Mike Bray? Like, that's crazy to me.
I think that's worth noting here too, Jeff, is he always had an appreciation or respect from where he came from. And he took obviously a lot from Coach K. He'd be dumb not to. But Coach was adamant. He wanted to stand on his own too. I don't know how much Coach loved the, oh, he's a Duke descendant. He's a Duke disciple. Like, he became the winningest coach at Notre Dame. Like, at some point you detach yourself from that and go, this guy's his own entity. And I think that was a big part of him. Like, okay, I learned here. This was the breeding ground, but now my own enterprise, and now I'm doing my own thing. And it cannot be overstated enough. It's really hard to win at Notre Dame. And yes, the expectations aren't Final Fours. Dude delivered two Elite Eights back to back. Dude won an ACC title at a place where they talk football 365. Lucky for him this year, they talk football 365, but for the majority of the time, this guy did things where it was literally water and people were getting full off of wine. And that was pretty incredible.
Jeff.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it says about Coach K, that he hired Coach Ray. It says them dudes at DeMatha were pretty good, man. The dudes from DeMatha, they've had some guys come through there, haven't they?
No doubt. You got it,
hey, Jeff.
I've
got a little fun one that I think Maddie and Moose it'll resonate with them, because I think I was walking over to Joyce with them when Coach got hired day one. You all remember the old Joyce Center, the way the parking came. We had the little arm and the coaches park right in front of the old offices there. It's all been redone now, but we were walking over for the press conference. And Maddie, you might remember this. I think you and I and Moose were walking over together. But all these coaches, you know, Coach, they all have nice cars. I mean, they all have, like, you know, Range Rovers and Mercedeses and things like that. So, I mean, they're really, really nice cars. Well, in the head coaching spot was a Ford Escort. And he pops out of the car. He pulls in right where we're walking in into the thing. He pops in. He's like, Gravesy, it's the only thing they had, man. It's the only thing they had. We had to get here. And I was like, man, I liked him at that moment. And because he was just such an egoless, he's the most egoless coach in college sports, period. There's not a coach in the world that would do that. They would pitch a fit, you know, about that. But he rolled in a Ford Escort and hit that little beeper, and he was perfectly comfortable with it.
And we used to give him shit about it, Dave, and he said it gets good gas mileage. I mean, that's Mike Bray to a T right there.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Are you saying it's cheap?
I think it was a Honda Pilot, but I mean,
it was a four cylinder. I can promise you that.
And for him, it got from point A to point B, and it didn't cost him too much money.
Right. Hey Jeff, you got one guy joining who's actually got his jersey in the rafters. He might be able to share a story of his own here. Luke Herangode just popped.
And I know Herangode's got, you know, he's working all day, so I'm glad he could jump on here. One of my favorite kids, one of my favorite players I've ever covered. Luke, I know can you get on Zoom on video
fresh,
at all?
He's fresh
or
out of a meeting, so he should be dressed to the nines. Let's see what.
I mean,
what
you should look good right now, Luke. Come on. Not like when I saw you.
You can't hide money. Let's see if he can pop on here.
Luke, can you hear us? All right, he's connecting. I don't think he's connected yet. So we'll try to get right. Luke on.
And, Jeff, I got a quick story for you, real quick.
Go ahead.
You know, you talk about coach and the type of coach that you want to lay it on the line and run through a brick wall for. we were in Blacksburg, Virginia, playing V-Tech, and we clinched the Big East title. So a couple guys on this call here, DG, Moose, T. Jones, and we clinched the Big East. We decided to go out that night to have a little fun. And obviously that's before camera phones and everything going on like today. So a little bit different. But we were flying commercial, didn't kind of have the private plane like everybody has now probably at Notre Dame. And our bus is leaving at 4:30 to go to the airport. And I remember us getting out of the cabs, the taxi cabs, at 4:29, walking onto the bus. And I'm like, we're done. Like, we're in so much trouble. We missed curfew. And as we get up the bus, I kind of catch Coach Bray's eye. And soon as we walk on, he just turns and looks out the window and didn't say a word. And that was it. So that's the kind of guy he was.
Hey, Heron Goaty, I don't even recognize you. Like, seriously, I do not recognize you at all. You've cleaned up well.
Is that a compliment?
Yeah, you like, look at you. You clean up.
I try. Good to see you, Jeff.
You too, man. I miss you. Glad you're doing well. Glad you could join us. I know you probably are in and out of meetings here. So let's get to you right away. Give me your favorite Mike Bray story, if you have one, or your overall thoughts. It can be anything. A lot of people have given their thoughts so far. I would like a great story if you got one, but where, the floor is yours.
You put me on the spot here right away. You're going to have to give me a second to come up with a – most of the stories I probably have aren't appropriate for this platform.
All you guys. But
it's true. Jeff, it's true. I mean, that's Coach. He's authentically himself. We can't share all that stuff. Well,
I know. That's the beauty of it.
He had some one-liners. He had some one-liners that we still use to this day. And
which are?
Are there? I mean, I can help maybe loosen that over here a little bit if anyone wants to kind of get things kicked off, right?
Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah. All right. So like these guys said, most of the stories can't be repeated. You know, language is very specific to his humor. Okay. But one for us, you know, we talked about, you know, getting kicked out of our locker room, put into the crap locker room. But what's the best is what happens in that locker room, right? Because he's mad at us. He's trying to dress us down. So I remember we had come off a streak of wins. Like, we played really well at Syracuse one year. We're riding high. I think we set a record for points. A couple of games after that, you know, maybe lost a couple in a row. So he throws us in this junk locker room, and we're watching film on maybe like the first TV ever invented. And, you know, he's going through, he's yelling at Colin Falls for taking crap shots. He's, you know, there was a close up on Russ at some point, which is bad body language. He's like, Russ, what were you mad about there? Were you mad that Colin didn't pass you the ball? He's like, yeah, Coach, I was. He's like, you're an asshole, you know, like, grow up. And then he saved the best for me, which he always did. I was like the punching bag at the end of the rants. But, you know, I had a pretty good game at Syracuse, as everyone did. But he was like, Zach, you left your family jewels back at the Carrier Dome. Like, you need to call the janitor and have him FedEx back to you. And he kept that bit going for 10 years. At my wedding in 2019, he brought a FedEx package with an IOU for the family jewels. So he, you got to like a guy who's committed to the bit, because he certainly came through a decade later and finished it off. So he had that kind of humor, and you couldn't really be mad at him either, because it was always just kind of funny and gave us stories. So he always let it rip like that.
I feel like we missed the boat a little bit. Me, Zach, Goaty, the taking a shirt off in the Maui. I don't know if anyone's here from that team, right? Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, Eric was. Right, Eric.
I was on staff during that. Yeah.
What was that? Go ahead, recreate that, relive that moment.
I mean, first it was a crazy comeback win against Wichita State. I mean, right before he doesn't tell anybody before he does any of this kind of stuff. Like, we all just met as a staff. Yeah. We're high-fiving. Shirt's just coming off as he's talking. And then he just pushes us and moves us out the way. And then he just runs in there. And it just happens. So, like, yeah, he's not letting us know, like, hey, here's this coming. No, he actually took off his shirt, pushed us out the way, ran in the room, and then we get that viral clip right there.
Hey, before, can I ask a question? Anybody can jump in on this. We've seen Jay Wright retire a year ago at 60, you know, prematurely for what most people thought, right? because the world's changing. College basketball's changing with transfers, with, you know, NIL, all that stuff. How much, and anybody can weigh in, I don't care who, how much do we think that pushed him out? Or was it, again, just he was ready? I think he was kind of ready. I thought he was ready a couple of years ago. And then he had the NCAA tournament team last year. And I almost privately was hoping he'd go out after last year, after an NCAA tournament berth. But how much do we think this is the right time because of the way college hoops has changed?
I'll go ahead and start, Jeff, because I had a lot of these conversations with Coach, full disclosure. Obviously, for the sake of friendship, I won't share everything that was said, but, you know, I don't think it drove him away. Again, he's going to have a press conference here and talk in just a little bit. I don't know when you're going to release this thing out, but he'll address some of that stuff. How honest he is with everybody, we'll find out. But, you know, NIL maybe a little bit, but 23 years, winning as coach at the place, sometimes you just say, my work here is done. Love South Bend, but it ain't South Beach. And as the guy's getting a little bit older, I think he's, you know, Kyle, his son is following in his footsteps as a high school football coach down there in Florida. I believe it's at IMG still. He wants to be around family more. He wants to relax a little bit. I think he wants a schedule that's not as demanding because he's achieved, and he's achieved at the highest level. He can walk out now. I'll tell you this, being in TV, I've gotten so many texts and calls like, so what do you think? Like, what do you think? When is he, what TV gig does he take? He'll be in high demand. I just don't know necessarily if all the coaching is out of him. I would think so, but I know he's eager to be on the beach for a little bit and kick back and have a couple of those pops, and no better guy to be around, as we've all said, to have a few drinks and then kind of reassess.
He'll be on the beach in Delaware, no doubt, right?
I got a good one-liner that I'm sure everybody on here has heard, but I know this would be specific. It was after we were on our 8-game winning streak my sophomore year. We go to Villanova. We're at Villanova. We're down like 20 at the half. We're honestly getting killed. He walks in the locker room, and Coach Bray does a great job. Like I think I forgot who said it, but just like knows what to say to kind of push your buttons. And he kind of just starts clapping, like a real light smile, and he's like, this is a good run, guys. And like, he's just like, it's good. You guys did a good job here. You guys are all nice guys. That's just one of his favorite things. You guys are all nice guys. You country club mother, bleep, 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 bleep. And then that was it. He just walked out. He just leaves you with that. He just like, he just sits you in the locker room and we're all just looking at each other like, all right, there was no like bring it in or anything. That was it. He just walked out, and that was him. You know what I mean? Like we were all nice guys. So like that, he does like hit the nail on his head right there. But
he let it tell you. He let it tell you about what country club he was from for sure.
Well, that was the thing, right? I mean, he developed dudes like that. That was not, again, I said this at the intro, but he got high character dudes, like all you guys. I mean, I know a lot of you. I know a lot of other dudes that came into the Notre Dame program. He's not taking a risk on any guys character-wise. He's taking high character dudes, but he's developing you as people and as players. Like, he's not getting the five stars generally. You know, Pat Connaughton, great example around me. You know, nobody really wanted him until the end. So I think that's something that needs to be said as well. It's just, you know, again, what he did, he wasn't getting those Duke Carolina players talent-wise, no disrespect to you guys, but he developed you guys, got the most out of a lot of you. You played together. You played a fun style to watch, other than when he would take the air out of the ball. That wasn't so fun for me to watch.
Hey, you know, Jeff, he had a lot of good guys, but we would, you know, every now and then get in some trouble. And one story I wanted to tell was one summer, a couple guys got in some trouble, blah, 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 you know, how that happens. And so he decides, you know, we're going to come in and run the next morning. So he brings everybody in, lines us up, and he really doesn't like running guys. He really doesn't. You know, he's big on saving legs and all that good stuff, but it's the summer, so, and he's mad at us, so he's going to run us. So he goes down the line, each guy. Starts with the first guy, you country club, you know, MF-er,
blah, 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 rips that guy for like 30, 40 seconds, blows the whistle. You know, you run your, I don't remember if it was a, you know, a suicide, a down and back, I don't remember, but it was, you know, you had to run. Goes to the next guy. He goes all the way down, you know, 10, 12 guys, and gets to the end, and everyone's like, oh, thank God we're done. He turns around, and this was the year I was rehabbing. I was just coming off my knee. So I'm in the back of the gym, down in the pit, behind him, and he forgot about me. So I'm riding the bike, you know, blah, 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 you know, watching all these dudes run. And he turns around and he goes, oh, Lance MFing Armstrong over here. And then just rips me for like 30 seconds, turns around, tells them all, get back on the line, and they run again. So he like they said, he had some great one-liners. He'd come after you. But the best is that they were great stories because you'd go in the locker room and we start laughing about what he said. And it was a great way that he got us to kind of bond as well as over his humor.
And if I can jump in real quick, Jeff, kind of to your point, because I think it's really important, especially, you know, in the current culture of college basketball and with some of the things that I think we've all seen in the news, I think it's really important, you know, that the high character point be mentioned, because in my experience, that's what makes your life as a student athlete. That's what makes your life really as an athlete, period. I've had the chance to work with guys who go play pro, work with guys who are NBA guys, and they always talk about their experience in college basketball. And I think Coach Bray's emphasis on bringing in great teammates and having guys who are great guys share the locker room with you, to me, is what makes an experience that lasts a lifetime, that changes people's lives, that like Jordan has spoken to, connects us all still to this day, to where there's a lot of guys who I never played with, a lot of guys who I never shared the locker room with, who I have a relationship with because we have that common bond. And if you look across college basketball, that's something that is becoming harder and harder to achieve with just how, you know, how it is with the transfer portal, how it is with, we've spoken about NIL. And I just think, you know, we can all sort of share that sort of lifelong experience. And to me, that's something that, obviously, he's, you know, the Elite Eight speak for themselves. The wins speak for themselves. You know, the Big East back in the day was one of the best conferences in the history of college basketball. And, you know, we had teams that threw punch for punch with some of the best of them, point blank, period. And all those things are incredible. I believe that the way we are and how we share as a family and the guys that you've shared the locker room with, to me, that always has meant more to me. And there's guys who have been way better players than me on this call, guys who have been way better players than me, you know, as teammates and boys. But one thing that I love is, like, this summer, Jaren Grant, Zach August, you know, guys who I play with who have done incredible things in their careers. We all get together and we go to Vegas and we have a good time in Vegas and we catch up and we don't talk anything about basketball. We laugh and we make jokes about the stuff in our experience and things we did together. And to me, that will always go far and beyond, because there's a lot of guys who win games, a lot of guys who put up stats. There's a lot of guys that do all those things, but you don't share experiences with incredible teammates and incredible men, like I think all of the guys on this call can attest to. So to me, that's a major point, Jeff. I think it's certainly worth mentioning, especially in today's culture.
Like you said, listen, he treated everybody the same. Like, that's Mike Bray. Like, I was a young dude breaking in as a recruiting guy, some slapdick recruiting guy that nobody gave a shit about. Mike Bray was great to me from the day I came in till the day I left. And you know what? There were times I had to criticize Mike Bray. There were times I had to. And you know what? He'd come back. He was like, I get it. Like, if I'm not winning, you've got to be honest. Like, how many guys? That was Mike Bray. No BS, no bullshit with Mike Bray. And that's why, as a media person, I have the ultimate respect for him. He did it the right way. He didn't cheat. We know that, right? He won at a high level without cheating. That's hard to do in the day and age prior NIL. All right. Who Luke, let's get to the people. We only got about 10 minutes left here. Let's get to the people that haven't spoke that want to speak. Luke, go ahead. What do you got? We've given you enough time to get going in that head of yours here. All right.
Well, first of all, and I'm playing catch up here. I think I could probably speak for this entire group. You you know, this is a sad moment, I think, for all of us, because we were so spoiled. And, you know, Jordan mentioned 23 years at one university is a major milestone. And I think we took it for granted a little bit that every time we came back to campus, the fact that, you know, our guy was still there, you know, he was there. Either we were, you know, we could have a drink with him, we go sit in his office. You know, there was a time last year, you know, where things are, 2 years ago, where things weren't going great. The student section was on him, and myself, Colin Falls, Kieran Filler, we all went and, you know, we just sat with him and talked. And you know, every time you're with him, it's like, you know, it was just your freshman year. It was great to be back with him and just tell old stories, a lot of stories we can't tell on this platform, like I said. But, and someone stop me if they've already told this story. NCAA tournament in Denver when he wrote on the floor. Anyone tell that one?
Yeah.
All right. So my sophomore year, we are playing opening round at the Pepsi Center in Denver. We are playing George Mason first round. And right before the game, he goes on one of his famous, you know, rants. He gets, you know, everybody's going, F this, F that, F this. This is, you know, this is our effing house. And he asked the manager to throw him a Sharpie. So he throws him a Sharpie, and right, we're in a huddle right before the game. On the, you know, remember when you, I mean, teams still do it, you put the chairs around, little folding chairs. Right on the floor, he writes, at the time, it was still the Joyce Center, where he said, and he wrote Joyce Center West in big block letters, you know, because this was our house. And he didn't realize one of the managers had thrown him a permanent marker. So we won the game, but afterwards there was a big discussion because they had to remove the floorboards to take Joyce Center West off the Pepsi Center floor for our next game, which we then lost to Washington State in a terrible fashion.
It's pretty good. Kieran, what do you got? You've been listening intently here for a while. What do you got that people haven't talked about?
Well, for the humor of the bond of everyone, you know, I got a text from Colin Falls on this thing saying I don't deserve to be on the call because I'm a walk-on. So, you know, which he's right, and I agree with. But Jeff, you know,
that's the beauty. Wait, Kieran, before you go on, isn't that the beauty of Mike Bray though? That again, walk-on, best player. Maybe he didn't treat you exactly the same, but probably.
Well, no, that's the story. I was just kind of keeping, you know, with what you were saying on how he treated everyone great. I still have a great relationship to him with this day, 20 years later. You know, I think when I was there, obviously I was doing nothing to help on the court, but he still valued me. We still had a great relationship. I remember when I was applying to law schools and everything, I was just kind of doing my own thing, not really keeping him in the loop on it. And he called me in his office, and he was upset that I wasn't using him as a resource, and he found out where I wanted to go, and he acted as my agent. He was finding somebody at every school and calling them. You know, now me and Kyle McElarney, you know, are at Priority Sports. We're MBA agents. You know, Coach Bray set that up for me. He's the one that introduced me to Mark Bartelstein, who owns Priority Sports, without me even asking to. He upset the whole thing up. So he's really looked out for me for my, you know, entire life. He's the reason I'm in the career that I'm in. And he didn't have to do any of that by any stretch of the imagination. So I think, you know, you obviously have your story breaking in, but I think a lot of people who are in this industry and who built careers, you know, he's helped in a big way.
Chris Murphy, you've been on here for a while. What do you got?
Yeah. Yeah, I would add to it's fitting for Falls to make a comment about Kieran and I being on here as fellow walk-ons, but he's too cool to be on this call, right? Where's Falls at? Is he on here?
No, he's not on here.
He's on a group chat now, getting a play-by-play though while he's in a meeting, so he's still commenting. Yeah.
You know, it was fitting. Last night, I sent this text around to a couple of the guys. Last night, I actually had the opportunity. CQs in Dallas, the Heat are playing the Mavs tomorrow night. So we had a couple beers last night and honestly just felt fortunate to be able to be with a teammate on a day when something like this breaks. And we just chopped it up for a little bit. And you know, what I would say about Coach Bray, he gave me an opportunity for me to have tremendous success in business just from the fact that walk into a room and there's a brotherhood of just, you know, hey, you know, played Notre Dame hoops. And, you know, I didn't share the floor very much, at least not during games, but during practices or, but it was good to just, you know, I think it's special to have a connection with a program for 20 plus years. And it's a, I echo what Luke said. It's a sad day when he won't be there. And I certainly think that, you know, I think everybody on this call hopes that, you know, whoever steps into that role next, we can have the same type of connection that we've had with Coach Bray. You know, whether you were number one on the, you know, an All-American like Maddie, or you were number 12 on the bench like myself, Coach cared for people and I think developed men. And I think that's going to be his legacy, is his character development. And frankly, I think everyone talks about him having fun, but man, we won a lot too, right? Like won 81% of his games in the pavilion in the Jack. And so, you know, sad day, but, you know, love Coach Bray and appreciate the opportunity he gave me personally.
All right, we're going to wrap it. Bittersweet, you know, I think, Luke, you're right. I mean, we kind of went through all this and we forgot about that it's sad in a way. It really is sad that I'm not going to see Mike Bray on the AU circuit at games. Very bittersweet. I'm happy for him that he gets to go out and enjoy, you know, 63. He's got, you know, hopefully 30 years on the beach now. That's a lot of beers to consume. I want to end with one thing, though. I want to end the pod this way. One word from everybody going around the room to describe Mike Bray. I know it's not easy. I'll start. For me, it's class. Class. That's what describes Mike Bray to me more than anything else. Let's kind of go around the room and everybody can jump in here. Just one word, if you can keep it to that. I know it's not easy to describe Mike Bray.
Easy.
Humble.
Swaggy.
I would say genuine.
That was my
Moose. Joyful.
Yeah, Moose took mine.
joyful. I'll say coach.
What else we got? Anybody else?
I don't know who said joyful, but joyful would be mine. Joyful every day, every day.
Funny.
Can I just ask? I mean, no shit, he was a coach, Maddie. You got anything else? The fuck?
Hey, he's our coach, man. He's our coach. Leave it there. It covers it.
I'd go with awesome.
Anybody else who hasn't thrown one out? Otherwise, I'm gonna wrap it right here because I think that was a pretty good way to finish this thing off and kind of pay tribute to me, one of the greatest coaches, one of the greatest people that this sport has ever seen. I don't know if you saw my tweet, but to me, he'd be great to run college basketball. I know he wouldn't do it. Maybe from the beach he would do it, but he'd be great at it because he would make the sport a whole hell of a lot better if Charlie Baker, the new president of the NCAA, went after him. You got to pay him a lot of money to be able to do that. But
well, Jeff, anyway. If I can interject and say thank you, man. Thank you for getting all of us on here. It's great to see my brothers. I love all you guys. I know that love's reciprocated amongst everybody. Coach said in one of his last pressers before the retirement, announcing the retirement, he was kind of upset, but he said, I've spoiled a lot of people. I think that's accurate. Coach has spoiled a lot of people, spoiled players, spoiled coaches around him, spoiled the university with the overachieving. So coach, we appreciate you, man. And I love all you guys on here.
Thanks, love guys. You, bro. Really appreciate you guys coming on, taking the time to do it. I'm glad we did it for him. I'll make sure it gets to him as well. Anything you guys need, just let me know. All right.
Love you, coach. Thanks, Jeff.
Love you, coach. Thanks Jeff.
Appreciate it, Jeff.
Hey, Thanks, guys.
Good seeing all of you.
Guys, while everybody's still on here, feel free to text me, but I'm trying to get everybody back for that March 1 game. It's his last home game versus Pitt. It's a Wednesday, so it may not be easy. Just text me on the side, you guys, if you could potentially make it. You want to bring wives, kids, want to do a solo thing and just the fellas. let me know what would work. It's a Wednesday night, March 1st, Notre Dame hosting Pitt, 7 o'clock. Let me know.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.